Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you're listening, and if you just tuned in, you might have missed my first hour conversation with Skip Heitzig, and we talked about how to stand above the status quo. He studied the life of Daniel in Babylon and just learned about some character traits that Daniel exhibited that we really need today, as we sort of live in a modern-day Babylon. How do we stand for our faith, live with our convictions, love people around us? If you're interested in that kind of a conversation, that podcast will also be up in just a bit at our website at myfaithradio.com. Now we're going to talk about part of the Christian population that often gets overlooked, and that's the singles among us. And some are called to singleness, very content in their singleness. Others who are single really want to be married. But either way, so often this is the population that gets overlooked by the church, especially. So if you're already married, I just want to invite you. I hope you'll stay tuned. One, because you have singles somewhere in your sphere of influence. And two, because I think Lisa is downright hilarious, and you'll get a kick out of her no-nonsense approach to this topic. She's got a lot of wisdom to share. So without further ado, let me introduce my guest. We'll get her on the show. Lisa Anderson is the program director for the young adults at Focus on the Family and the host of the Boundless Show podcast. She leads the Boundless team in discussions on relevant issues, interviews authors, artists, and other newsmakers, and she facilitates Q&A and volunteers far too much information from her personal life, but that's one of the many things we love about her. You can find her influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dear Lisa, welcome back to the program.
Susie, it is great to be here.
Love chatting with you. And you know, because you've been on so many times, we love to start out talking scripture. In fact, you came armed with a passage. I'm so excited. Psalm 27, 13, 14. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Talk about that passage.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because I'm actually doing a study that is 14 days in this psalm, which to me at the start of it sounded exhausting. I'm like, how can I deal with this psalm for 14 days? But it's been great. And of course, the psalm starts out, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? And then talks a lot of, you know, there's a lot of drama in between about God being our protector. But it sums it up by saying what you just said. I'm confident that I'll see the Lord's goodness. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. And it just reminds me of anything happening in whatever stage of life. I often get this as a single person. Well, you know, just wait on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I got to wait on the Lord. But so do you.
Yeah.
We're all waiting on God for something. We're all trusting God for something. And we have to be okay with that and take that next little step forward that he has for us and wait and see what he's going to do, because it will be good.
You know, it's probably easy for married people to say to single people, you just need to wait on the Lord. What that sounds like, I'm just trying to imagine, is, well, I've arrived, and someday you will too.
Yeah, I got my fairy tale ending. What if, you know, I don't know what your problem is.
Yeah, you must have missed a step. I mean, but you're so right that, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So those of us who are married, that doesn't mean we're cruising like nothing. There's no other need before us. There's lots of stuff we need to engage our faith about, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I always say, you know, it may be for the single person that that's the thing they're trusting God with most right now. But when you get married, maybe it'll be infertility. Maybe it'll be a rebellious teen. Maybe it'll be finances or health or something else. We all have to be leaning into the Lord every day, because we don't know what life will bring our way, including, you know, in this passage, the enemies that are both of the soul and of the spirit and of the flesh. So we have to be prepared.
Indeed. Well, you started out at Focus on the Family as a public. And you said that three married guys ran Boundless at the time. I love this. I want you to explain how you not only got involved, but eventually became the leader of the organization.
Yeah, well, it's really hilarious because actually I was doing most of their, publicity, earned media kind of stuff. And just in getting to know them, I started sharing some of my own story and some of the dates I was going on. And they kind of summed it up by saying, well, wow, Lisa, you seem to be really kind of dating some loser guys and probably making some bad decisions and clearly not utilizing a lot of common sense. And so let us help you. And I was like, what? I was all offended. You know, I'm like, I'm a Christian and I know how to do this. And it just made me realize that clearly I had put marriage, the pursuit of marriage, as probably like a plan C in my life at that point, and didn't have the tools and the tactics and really the wisdom necessary to navigate what is an increasingly hostile culture and landscape for the dater and the person who's prepping for marriage. And so I had to open my eyes and let them speak into my life, and it changed my view on both dating and marriage prep.
So I want to know what's changed, if you can even give us a synopsis. Let me just read this excerpt first. I love this. You said, dating is not for meeting your physical and emotional needs. Dating is not for determining the feasibility of a lifetime. I just butchered this. Let me start over. I wish we were recorded. We could cut that out. Start again. Dating is not for meeting your physical and emotional needs. Dating is for determining the feasibility of a lifetime with another person, which is not done by ascertaining the kissing prowess of your partner. It's not even about your level of compatibility. When it's all said and done, it's about commitment. Are you ready to give the rest of your life to this person? More generally, are you ready to give the rest of your life to the Lord in this area? That is powerful. Before I ask you to kind of give me the contrast of then and now, unpack that statement a bit more, if you would.
Yeah, I think what we have to understand, and I love, in fact, I was just hanging out with Gary Thomas, author of Sacred Marriage, a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about what he feels God gave him specifically as a husband to his wife, Lisa. And he said, my task, he said, is that when she stands before the Lord, I need to answer the Lord and say, did I move her closer to the cross? Mm-hmm. Did I help her become more sanctified in her faith? Did I lift her up and encourage her towards believing God that he is who he says he is and that she is who he says? You know, that is a self-sacrificial kind of relationship. That's not about, hey, I need someone to complete me, or I need someone to hang out with, or to meet all my needs, or to be. It's just a big, big task. It's a reflection truly of Christ and his relationship with the church.
So amazing. So would you say back when you first came to Boundless and you were dating some of these funny guys, that your perspective was fun, emotional, engagement, compatibility, sort of speak, maybe you can even put words to that better than I. But then now you're really looking at, as a Christian woman who wants to be married, dating serves another whole purpose. So maybe draw a distinction between what you thought then, what you think now.
Yeah, I think then it was informed a lot by Hollywood, quite honestly, and this idea, you know, what I learned in about a 90-minute romantic comedy, that you just date a bunch of people against the one of them is going to stick at some point. So, you know, well, we generally get along and it looks good. And, you know, in the Christian context, you know, he loves Jesus, I love Jesus. And there is a simplicity to that. I'm not saying it has to be some massive algorithm, you know, where it becomes crazy making. But at the same time, there was no intention in my pursuit of, you know, a dating relationship. There was no understanding of, oh, really, should this be leading towards marriage? What does this look like? And so I think where I've grown in that is understanding that if marriage truly is the end goal, a lasting, you know, lifetime relationship where you're moving one another mutually, you know, towards the Lord, then it should be approached with good biblical intention, with purity in the context of community. It's not just fun and games. It's not just pizza dates for 15 years and then you just figure out, you know, hey, why am I in my 30s now and still single? I think that's kind of the road I was down and then realized, whoa, this isn't going to meet my end goals.
Okay, so let's say you've got somebody who feels very compatible with the person that they've been dating, but they've been dating and dating and dating and dating, and they're in their 20s, they long to be married, but they're dating and they're dating, and the other person isn't quite ready yet. But all these other things, I used to compare it with my boys. I said, you know, it's like you have these colors on this palette, and sometimes if you find somebody who's your yellow, you forsake all the other colors because you've never met a yellow like this. And we so often forsake all the rest of the equation, you know. But I want you to talk maybe to that person listening today who's saying, I long to be married. They're not quite ready. We're dating for absolutely ever, but there's so many other things that we're compatible in. What say you?
Yeah. Well, I think it depends on the timeline that we're talking about here. So, for example, there are some people who are just super, they know what they want. They're super intentional. I mean, I dated a guy who after like 4 weeks was like, okay, I think it's time for us to get engaged. And I was like, you know, that's a little too soon for me. If, however, we're talking about a couple years at this point, and again, it's this person who's just, they're not in a place or they can't commit. This is where you have to bring a community into place, preferably some mentor folks to help figure out what is holding this person back. Is this a, you know, is it, are they just concerned about their finances? Have they not grown up yet? Are they just really fearful based on maybe the environment they grew up in? Because if it is something where they're just stuck and they just need a little encouragement and prodding or some, you know, just some good guidance, then that's probably navigable, you know. If, however, they are just digging in their heels because they just want to be having fun or they just want to put it off or whatever, I really think that at some point, like say it's the girl in this instance who's waiting and waiting, nothing's happening, it might be time to break this off until that person decides, okay, I'm in it to win it. I'm coming back to this game plan. I'm going to move it forward. Because really, if you are dating for that long, it is very difficult to protect purity. It is difficult to, you know, you are going to be giving up years of your life for something that really has no guarantee. You know, I mean, are you really going to move towards marriage? What's this going to look like? So I think you have to be honest and objective in that pursuit.
Boy, that's so good. And you can imagine how you would feel a sense of rejection as well. Even though you're still dating the person, there's a sense of rejection that you're not running hard. We're of marriageable material. We both make plenty of money. There's no reason we shouldn't be moving towards marriage, and I can't quite get an answer from you about it. You can imagine where that would, after a while, start to feel like rejection, even though we're still dating. In that case, though, Lisa, marriage isn't exactly the end goal because that's not going to be solved. If you're not pursuing being pursued in the dating relationship and prioritized, you're certainly not going to be pursued and prioritized once you're married.
Well, exactly. And this is why I tell women this especially, because I think we err on this side and fall into this trap. You know, we are giving up. We've been sold a bill of goods. And basically that is, you know, if we just give up enough companionship, enough time, enough energy, enough sex, whatever it is, then eventually this guy is going to, you know, commit to us, or he's going to fall in love with us, or he's going to go the distance or whatever. And actually everything sociological in that sphere proves the exact opposite. And so we need to understand our own worth. We need to understand what it looks to stand our ground, to hold our convictions, and to realize that ultimately we're going to get our worth from the Lord, and we need to, because this, everyone else will fail us in the world. And so understand who you are, what that looks like, and then you can enter healthily into a relationship with another person who's doing the same.
Talking to Focus on the Family is Lisa Anderson. It's really true, at least I would say for women, where either our standard is so impossibly high that we never meet anybody, or we settle and our bar is so low that we live in a low level of misery and never get any traction in the relationship. So we're going to talk about that. Is it okay to have a list when you're looking at the kind of person you want to marry? And what is settling? What does that look like? Talking to Lisa Anderson, we welcome your calls as well. 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with my friend Lisa Anderson in a moment. Much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Got my friend Lisa Anderson. She's Program Director of Young Adults at Focus on the Family. She joins us today. We're talking about her fantastic book, The Dating Manifesto, A Drama-Free Plan for Pursuing Marriage with Purpose. I'm not sure, but I think we've got a few copies to give away. But if we don't, I think we know people. Oh, yay, we've got four. So if you know somebody who's single, who's maybe kind of hit that place of just inertia, that they're not moving, they don't have traction, and they need some really practical hands-on information, this is a great book. Call us and talk to us, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. 2484. It might make a great Christmas gift, you know. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. So before the break, Lisa, I was saying it just seems, at least with women, I don't know if it's the deal with guys, but we either our standard is so high that we have a 50-point list of he has to fit all of this criteria, that's why I've not met him yet, or we date like a comfortable shoe. We stayed with a guy for so long because it's what we know, and it kind of goes along the lines of a known captivity is more preferable than an unknown freedom. So speak to those two extremes and how they get us into trouble.
Yeah, I was definitely, I see it kind of, it basically you've just described my 20s and then my 30s. So my 20s, I was the 50-point list girl. In fact, I was encouraged by a well-meaning junior high youth group leader to write down those 50 things that I wanted in a husband and tape it to my mirror and pray over it every day. And so I did, but it turns out, you know, the first five qualities were kind of legit. And then by 45 to 50, I was kind of putting everything that maybe didn't even exist and certainly qualities that I didn't have. So it became kind of this unattainable ideal. And of course, we can do that to any, you know, lesser degree as well. But it's one of those things where we see it's almost like we're trying to fall in love with some kind of a prototype or an archetype. And this person, you know, if they don't have all these qualities, oh, my goodness, you know, well, maybe God isn't directing us towards them or we need to wait. And, you know, it plays into that idea of the one as well. And on the converse, then I moved into my 30s. I wasn't dating in my 20s because I didn't find this perfect guy. And so my 30s, I'm like, my goodness, I need to make up for lost time. And so let me just date anyone and everyone. And, you know, he'll say he's a believer. And so, okay. And all of a sudden I got in these relationships that were just, you know, not going anywhere, or they were, I mean, I was in one that was pretty much, I would define as emotionally abusive. And it wasn't a lot of substance. And so I realized I need to approach this much more biblically, rationally, and again, with that community around me to help me navigate the different people in play.
Okay, so the person who's dating like a comfortable shoe, I'm not calling the guy a comfortable shoe, but the relationship's like a comfortable shoe. Would your advice kind of mirror what you gave at the first section of this show today? To see, you know, ask some probing questions, see where we're at, or is this more about introspection? Like, I have to ask myself some personal questions and decide what my role is in this relationship.
Yeah, I think it's both and. I mean, I think if you've gotten to a point in a relationship where you have literally hung on and it has become obvious not only to yourself but to others that this is kind of stalled out, this has passed a reasonable amount of time for what you both need to know. You know, there are so many people that say, oh, if I just know one more thing about this person, or if I just go through one more Christmas with them, or I meet their parents one more time, you will never know everything that you need to know about a person prior to moving into marriage. You know, you're going to have to explore that the rest of your life with this person. And so I always say it may be time for a frank discussion that involves, you know, I need to know, where are we going here? What are we calling this? What does this look like? And let that other person explain and let them talk through, you know, where they are. And again, it might help to bring a mentor couple alongside. And then really, if that person is not, you know, if they've kind of stagnated where they are, or they're kind of saying, oh, we're just having fun, it may be time for you to pull away, because you are now other eligible suitors are not going to be able to come forward because you're kind of wasting your time with Mr. Go Nowhere.
Mr. Go Nowhere. That's got a ring to it, I got to say. That's your next book title, Mr.
Go
Nowhere.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So is there ever a place for a list then? I know we've talked about this before. And ability to play guitar around the bonfire okay to have on? Just kidding.
That is okay to have on your list, but it has to be a very negotiable thing. You know, don't put it on the non-negotiables. Yes, a list is great. And you had referenced, you know, prior to the break, the whole idea of settling. Everyone is going to settle in a relationship. We're not going to get everything we think we deserve. And certainly we're not going to be everything that the other person thinks they deserve. So I say, you know, keep your list to about four to five things. And that is, first up, this person has to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. They are a gospel believing, gospel living Christian, and you see that faith growing in their walk. They are volunteering information about what God is doing in their life. They are volunteering to bring things before the Lord. They are, if you have to sit there and ferret something out of them, like you're on an episode of 24, this is way, way too much work. I mean, we're not talking about Christians who are Christian because they grew up in America or because they retweet John Piper or they, you know, I mean, a lot of people try to pass themselves off as that. The first thing you need to do is understand what it means to be a follower of Christ, both for yourself and for the other person. Then you have to look at a few other things. Is this person humble and teachable? Meaning, are they willing to admit their own faults? Do they forgive? Do they let things go? Are they one that asks forgiveness as well? Are they willing to speak to a counselor or a pastor or advisor if there's an impasse in something you guys are talking about? Also, are they in a position to marry? You know, again, we talked a little bit about, you know, that job and just kind of not being stuck with being crippled by debt or living in your parents' basement. I mean, are you marrying an adult? That's important as well. And then also looking at that calling. I mean, I've always loved, you know, we've heard often that illustration of, are you moving ahead in life and looking to either side and seeing if there's someone that is kind of alongside you, heading in the same direction, you know, not pulling at odds with what God, you feel God's calling you to do. That could be a great potential fit for you.
Excellent. And you say to ditch the Hollywood script. And one of those script ideals is, I want to risk a little, but win big. Wow, that's a mixed message, but I'm sure that could get, you know, if you live that way, that sounds desirable, but it really will end in defeat, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely. And that's actually in that chapter, I actually outline a couple traps that I feel both men and women fall into, or either or, I should say. And the risk little but win big is the guy's territory. And that's where we see them play acting through movies, through video games. They want to be part of a big story, but they don't want to risk. And really taking on marriage and family, taking on your calling in the gospel and in God's kingdom is a big thing. It's a big story. It's an adventure. Guys need to start doing real things. Standing up for real causes, defending the defenseless, speaking up for those who can't speak up for themselves, and being men. And I think not only will, you know, is that just attractive, I mean, but that is absolutely what we need in our Christian culture today.
So, so good. Would this one be more on the female side? I want a project to work on.
That is. That's where, like, you think of those romantic comedies, Susie, where the women are like, this guy is just a mess, but she's going to fix him. And she's going to get together with her girlfriends and they're going to come up with a little plan for him. And surely underneath it all, he's a budding novelist who went to an Ivy League school and just has a few daddy issues. But Susie, I have dated, and we always think they're going to be like this diamond in the rough, okay? But I have dated these guys, and you know what? They turned out to be projects. They weren't diamonds in the rough. They were projects. They didn't turn into something amazing, and so we have to be realistic about that.
Okay, and let's look at your chapter, Five Reasons Your Love Life is a Disaster. We're going to take a hard break here in about a minute and a half, but you're waiting for the one. What say you?
Yeah, this is that idea that there is one person out there in the world that is your ideal match, and if you don't find them, you're somehow out of the will of God. I have heard Christians tell me this, and that idea is so ludicrous because it's like, my goodness, you know, first of all, it's going to paralyze you. You're not going to be able to choose, and on the flip side of that, you're going to rush into love, and then you realize once you hit a bump in the road, oh my goodness, I must not have married the one. There are a number of people in the world that you could love, live with, be attracted to, serve the Lord with. You got to pick one of those people. When you do, they become the one. You cut the clutter, put the blinders on, love them for the rest of your life, and serve the Lord together.
Can I get an amen? Wow, that's really good. You got about 30 seconds on this one, but I think you can do it. You're still a kid.
Yeah, this is alluding to that, what I talked about. You're just not a grown-up yet. We know the term adult essence. We're seeing people in their 20s, even into their 30s, living this out. They can't do their own budget. They can't hold their own job. You need to marry an adult. Adults need to be marrying each other, not kids. So make sure you're finding, dating, and marrying an adult.
Talking to Lisa Anderson of Focus on the Family, her book is excellent, The Dating Manifesto, a drama-free plan for pursuing marriage with purpose. Love to hear from you. You're a little bit quiet today. 877-933-2484. Here's a good one. One of the reasons your love life might be a disaster, you're not dating. We're going to talk about that when we come back. More with Lisa Anderson in a moment.
Taking everything with the road ahead is hard, and you don't know where to go. Taking
for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friend Lisa Anderson. She's Program Director for Young Adults at Focus on the Family. She's got a fantastic book out titled The Dating Manifesto, A Drama-Free Plan for Pursuing Marriage with Purpose. Love to hear from you if you've got questions. Boy, she's got such wisdom in this area. I love talking with her. 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email Susie at myfaithradio.com. We've got Mark checking in from St. Paul. He's got a question for you today. Mark, welcome.
Hi, thank you. I hear her on the radio sometimes when I'm driving to work early in the morning, which is a fun program to listen to, although I'm married and happily married, but Lisa gives some great advice on her program. But my question is regarding a friend of mine who's a fairly new Christian, and she's trying to figure out how to date and all that kind of stuff, and some of these guys that claim to be Christians, you kind of go, what in the world? Where is she finding these guys? So I didn't know if this would be a kind of book to give her, and I don't want to offend her, but, you know, and how do we just, my wife and I kind of encourage her along this direction.
Hmm. Wow. Lisa, I can almost hear you answering now. What do you say to Mark?
Yeah, and that's a great question. Yeah. And first of all, like, how great that she has you and your wife in her life. I mean, I think that's the first step right there, because so many single young adults are operating in a vacuum when it comes to relationships, and they're just kind of wandering around blindly. So I think the fact that you care, the fact that even if you're willing to pray for her and kind of just help give her some guidance would be great. I would say, I mean, it's funny because I tell people that with the book, it starts out with like straight up like advice, and it sounds kind of harsh. Like I'm always like, hang in there, people, because I'm yelling at you at first of all the things I wish I'd known. And then I move towards encouragement later on in the book. But I would say for her, it really is. I mean, for her navigating her own new faith, it's going to be tough, and she's going to need some great guidance and someone to use as a springboard, you know, a sounding board to say, okay, what about this guy? I might need you to meet him. I might need you to look if we're communicating on social media, maybe look at his profile. Let me know what you think. Here's what he said about this. Dating has to be done in community. We have to do it in order to just preserve, you know, that objectivity and really get people's eyes and ears on a relationship, you know, where maybe they'll see things that we won't. So I would say if you're willing to jump in alongside her and help her understand that, because not all of that's going to be easy for her, I think that'll help her along the way. And again, we didn't kind of delve into this yet, but that whole idea of, I say, let's look for trajectory. You know, we're not looking for perfect people. We're not looking for massive, like, theologians. You know, I think sometimes women trend in the opposite direction of, I need this guy to have written 4 expositional studies on Romans. You know, no. But does this guy love Jesus? Is he serving in his church? Is he plugged into a community? You know, does he have mentors around him? I think that's a great start.
And Mark, I really believe that you coming around her, you and your wife, to say, we care so much about you, feel protective of you. And I think she'd be so blessed by your input that way. In this book, it'll be great. You get a copy, Mark, by the way. Okay, we've got another listener who wrote in and said, please let me know if this book would help someone like me. I'm divorced. I'm a single mom. And in the dating world, as we speak, I have a boyfriend, but no marriage in sight. And I'm getting tired of living with him without a real commitment. And worry what example I might be setting for my 13-year-old son about the importance of marriage. Lisa, what say you?
Yeah, I will say that chapter 5 will be great for this listener, because really that's where I kind of lay out, in fact, it's a couple more of these principles about the 5 reasons your love life's a disaster. And one of them is your dating is directionless. And that's where I talk about, you know, whether it's men or women giving up too much for the level of commitment that they're getting. And that's applicable whether you are 20 years old, having never been married, or whether you are, you know, married in the past, you're a single mom, whatever. We're all trying to navigate relationships, and we all want to do it with biblical intention and purity. And so, again, you know, getting just some insight, sometimes there's just some hard truth, but also some encouragement too, to really help you kind of cut through the clutter and realize that you don't have to settle for, you know, for something less than. God is not limited in his resources and in the people that he could bring into your life. So trust him with that.
Excellent. Okay, this listener called and said, my daughter's in the college world, but not dating. How can I encourage her to step into the dating world wisely? What do you say, Lisa?
Sure. And it's kind of tricky for college students because, again, I always say, and this is, I think, contrary to what some even in the Christian sphere are saying, I truly think that you shouldn't be dating seriously unless you can take a relationship ultimately to marriage as an end goal. Otherwise, you're just setting yourself up for a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble. So when you're in college, but I certainly think, Susie, to the contrary, you know, to, or the other side of that coin, college students can be dating and move towards marriage. You know, this idea that, oh, no, now you have to be in your 30s before you can get married. No, that's ridiculous. So I think for her to understand, you know, first of all, what does it look like for her to look in the spheres that she's in, the acquaintances that she has? Every time I speak on a Christian college campus, I tell those students, look around you. You will never be around more like-minded people headed in the same direction, loving Jesus in the same life stage as you are right now. When you get out of college, the pool dwindles. When you enter your 30s, it dwindles more and more. And so look at this as a season of being able to explore that as a possibility.
Excellent. Okay, we were looking at the five reasons your love life is a disaster, and this is one of the things I love about you, is you don't mince words. I'm like, what does she mean by that? I already know what she means. So we talked about you're waiting for the one, you're still a kid, and that prolonged adolescence, and what did you call it?
Adolescence.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Okay, and this next one is you're not dating. This is why your love life's a disaster. You're not dating. Talk about that one.
This is like the hello, Captain Obvious. But I figured I had to put it in there because literally there are so many Christian adults who are choosing not to date because they are either putting so much import on it, Susie. Like, I know guys who will not ask a girl out to coffee unless they're pretty convinced they could marry her. And I'm like, that is the purpose of dating, people, is to get to know the other person, to say you're singling them out for the purpose, you know, you interest me. We have a shared hobby. I've seen you at church serving, you know, with the senior citizens group. I mean, that's just the whole point of this. And it's like our grandparents were like, what is, even my mom, she's like, Lisa, what is the big deal? Why is everyone so worked up about this and no one can even go out on a date anymore? We have to just be willing to put the risk out there to guys to ask a girl. You may be rejected. You probably will be rejected, but that is okay. By taking the risk, you're setting yourself apart from 80% of guys out there. Ladies, give guys a chance. Don't act like they have to be all have arrived for you to be able to do coffee with them. Again, don't get into these unrealistic lists. Just go out, do a date, you know, understand what it's like. I think it will just relieve everyone's fears and kind of make it, you know, normalize it again in the church.
How about this issue? I hear about this a lot, but when people, young marrieds, divorce shortly thereafter, some rush right into another relationship. Others are so afraid they wait a long, long time. I know every situation and story is unique, but is there a wise amount of time to wait before you even consider dating again after a failed marriage?
Yeah, I don't know if there's a specific amount of time, but I would say definitely it depends on the person and what level of hurt and issues you're working with. I mean, even as a person who has never married, I went through a couple breakups, Susie, where I had to do some counseling afterwards because I realized that I was very, my whole thing was I felt like the relationship not working out was a reflection on me. Like I had to, you know, it was, I was a failure because I couldn't make this relationship work out. So what was wrong with me and why couldn't I communicate with this guy? And why? And sometimes we just need to get some just some health back into our life and to understand, get some perspective, get some good biblical counseling, get some pastoral advice. I think definitely if someone's coming off of a marriage, that is a huge, huge shift. That is something that, you know, you definitely want to walk through with a community alongside you. You want some great counselors in your stable on that. So I would say definitely you need to take time to heal. You need to take time to process. You need to be okay, you know, truly moving on from this relationship and not looking at a new relationship to solve any problems or heal any wounds from your previous one.
Excellent. Okay, we've got Jared checking in from Fargo, and he's got just words of encouragement for singles listening today. Jared, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate you taking my phone call. I'm 34 years old. Been married for going on 3 months, so definitely having not much of a clue of really what's going on. But I had all these lists, you know. I had all these lists of what I wanted, and I came to the Lord with it. And in my continuing research, it was, you know, I just need to love, or I want the woman that loves God with all of her heart, with all of her soul, with all of her mind, with all of her might. And to love thy neighbor as thyself, the first two commandments, which cover everything. And when I came to God and said, Lord, I'm going to pray about this, and you know everything else that I value in a woman, and you'll fill those in. And when I met Patricia, man alive, was that ever true? Mm-hmm. I mean, everything that I could possibly ever want in a woman, boom, God nailed it.
Wow.
So,
you just want to encourage people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, 34 years old, she's 36. We were kind of like, well, this is what we want in life, and wait upon the Lord. And it was definitely worth the wait. I wish I could have done that when I was younger, but God knew what he was doing, obviously.
Indeed. Yeah, and I'll bet one thing, Jared, you can attest to is the fact that we often don't realize what we do need until you enter in marriage, and all of a sudden your spouse has qualities, and you're like, oh, thank you, Lord. I didn't even know that this was important to me, or that this would be a great fit for me or a great compliment to me. You know, that's why putting our futures in God's hands is the best place for them to be.
Indeed. Jared, thank you for that call. Fantastic. So we're looking at these five reasons your love life is a disaster or doesn't exist as you're waiting for the one. You're still a kid. You're not dating. We touched on this one. Your dating is directionless. But give maybe some symptoms, some clear symptoms that dating is directionless.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the biggest red flag for this, Susie, is if you are not quite sure where you stand in this relationship. If you've dated a person for, say, like 6 months and you're not sure even if you're exclusive with this person yet, that's a great time to have a conversation. If you have dated for a year and you haven't even started talking about marriage, or this person's constantly putting up red flags or excuses of like, you know, oh, well, someday this, or I want to pay off my debt, or I want to finish all my schooling, or it's always someday in the future. That's a little bit of a red flag. If you have just gotten a little too comfortable with each other and you have more connection with each other than you do commitment. I know people who, for example, well into early on in a relationship, they are all of a sudden giving gifts to this person's mother. They're going to family holidays. They are basically living like they're married, but there is no understanding of really where they need to be or what they're looking for. That is directionless dating. Dating with direction should have regular checkpoints to understand, where is this relationship? Are we both on the same page? Do we still have the same goals? Are we both in this? And there's nothing wrong with having, you don't have to be some CPA to have a plan. You know, let's just all be normal about it and make sure that each person's heart is kind of on board with this.
When we come back, we're going to talk about what a friend relationship is. I don't know if you know this, but Lisa is known for making up words.
Very true.
But they really should be words because they make perfect sense. Do you know what a friend relationship? I can't even say it. Friend relationship. There it is. When we come back, we'll talk more about dating with purpose, pursuing a drama-free plan towards marriage. Talking to Lisa Anderson. More with her in a moment. That song by Stephen Curtis Chapman, and it really does mirror what Lisa Anderson just said about entrusting your whole soul and story to God. He knows what's best for you more than you do. He loves you most. Talking to Lisa Anderson from Focus on the Family about her fantastic book, The Dating Manifesto, A Drama-Free Plan for Pursuing Marriage with Purpose. And got an email listener who says, I'm listening to the program. I have two daughters dating now. How do I come alongside them and encourage them not to settle? I want them to be happy. One daughter is making excuses for her boyfriend not treating her right. I don't want to tell her how I feel about him due to her thinking that I'm being judgmental. What do you say, Lisa?
Yeah, this is a tricky thing because parents, you know, you care about your kids. And it's, you know, I have been in the situation of the dater where I did not see certain things in the relationship. It's very easy to get consumed by this person, to get all caught up in this feeling of being in love. And I remember dating a guy and my friends literally staged an intervention. They're like, Lisa, there's this, and then there's this, and this. And I was making excuses left and right. Well, you guys just don't understand him. If you just saw this, if you, you know, maybe it was this, maybe it was that. And they're like, you know, or he's just a jerk. and it was, you know, now for this mom, this is where I tell parents, sometimes you may not be that person that can speak into this. Do your daughters have other people? Do they have, you know, mentor friends in their life, other people that they may have a little more equity with? Because sometimes you can get the mom, you're just being my mom, you don't know, you know, whatever. But I would say start out by praying for them boldly and fervently about this situation. And then share from your own experience as well, especially if you did some dating badly. I think that goes a long way, just to say, you know what, I didn't do this perfectly either. And I had to make some mistakes and learn some things. I think sharing kind of from that kind of opens the door maybe to be a little bit more honest in the situation, and can go a long way with your kids. And so it kind of helps level the playing field in a sense, and open up conversations that may be taken up from your daughters.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that email, and Lisa, for that great answer. So we were walking through some of the reasons that your love life may be a disaster or doesn't exist and want to reset them again. You're waiting for the quote unquote one. You're still a kid. You're not actually dating. Your dating is directionless. And the fifth one we haven't touched on yet is you're stuck in a friend relationship. Explain.
Okay, Susie, I'm going to start out by saying that once I explain what this is, there's going to be a collective groan across your listenership, because even if people don't know what this word is, they're going to know this situation. They've either done it or known someone who has. I'll use this illustration. Let's say there's Ashley and Ben, and Ashley and Ben are friends, and they start hanging out together, spending more and more time together, doing pizza, doing movies, sharing their thoughts, sharing their feelings. All of a sudden, Ashley starts liking Ben. She starts developing a connection with him. And so she realizes, well, Ben needs to just wake up and realize what's right under his nose, because I think we could have a future together. Meanwhile, Ben is totally just thinking of this as a friendship, because that's where the understanding was. And so they continue this because Ashley's like, if I just hang in there, if I just keep this up, I can't let it go now. I'm now this invested. It'll be okay. He'll turn around. He'll realize this. She'll hang on indefinitely, Susie, in hopes of something happening, when there's no guarantee that it will. What probably will happen is, say, a year down the road, Ben's going to say, hey, what do you think about Katie? And she's going to be like, who's Katie? Well, that new girl in church, because I'm thinking of asking her out. Okay, hashtag boom. Ashley is in a friend relationship. And I had a friend, Susie, who did this for 7 years.
Wow.
She hung on to a guy that she was convinced was going to fall for her. And at the end of 7 years, she broke up from a non-relationship with a guy that never had an intention of dating her, never was guarding her heart, never gave her the time of day for anything besides using her for companionship and his emotional sounding board and everything. She lost almost a decade of her life to that kind of go-nowhere relationship.
Mm. And maybe this what you just talked about ties into this, but I'm wondering what kinds of issues send up warning flares for everyone but the one who's smitten? Obviously, the friend relationship would be, you know, warning, but are there other issues that send up these warning flares that seem obvious to everybody but the person in the relationship?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing is just the way, looking around and seeing how this person, you know, looking very objectively, how is this person truly treating you and other people? So, for example, is this person a listener, or are they always talking about themselves? Are they a taker in the relationship? Do they truly serve you? Can you list on three fingers a few ways that they truly build you up in your faith? Are they adding value to your life and ultimately to your walk with the Lord? Those are things to look for. You know, I think of even walking into, you know, more serious territory, and this is, again, born out of a conversation I had with Gary Thomas. He said he gives men a one strike rule when it comes to physical, when it comes to abuse, let's just say. He said, you know, if you have not dealt with issues of anger, issues of resentment and bitterness, you are not in a position to be dating. You need to be getting help. You need to be getting counseling. You need to be getting encouragement from other areas and not bringing that into a relationship. Because if you bring it into a relationship, then a marriage, and then into parenting, you are in hot water and it's very difficult to extricate yourself. So again, those kind of actions. Also, I would say, again, making excuses, not being willing to own up, to ask forgiveness, to say you're sorry, to admit failure, admit faults. is another huge red flag. That was one that I treaded into in a relationship with a guy where, you know, it was always my problem, always my fault. And so I was kind of like, well, I'm sure he just doesn't understand. No, he just really can't admit his own faults. And so those are just a few red flags.
Wow. Okay, we've just got a few minutes here before we pray. I want to talk about the chapter titled, Are You Marriageable? And I'm going to list these because I know we won't be able to get to all of them, but I want you just to pick a few. But some of these great tips, get tight with Jesus, commit to a local church, take responsibility, lead where you are, love the people you've got, actively pursue marriage or the next stage of life. Talk about what it means to be marriageable. Another made-up word by Lisa Anderson, folks.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, let me take a couple of those. One is the committing to the local church, because I think this is so important. And I often tell people this at Boundless. You know, Boundless exists. We're an online community. We do a lot. We have a lot going out there, a lot of resources. But I tell our listeners, we love you. We're rooting for you. We want to give you great advice, but we are not your church. You need to find a local body of believers that is going to know you, that's going to be up in your business, that is going to tell you what's what, that's going to hold you accountable for your actions, that's going to implore you and make you serve others. You have to have that Christian community in the flesh around you to help you navigate life well. So that's one big thing. I'm so tired of single young adults saying, don't worry, I go hiking on the weekend and Jesus is my boyfriend and I listen to podcasts and that is not the same thing. The biblical church was real people doing real things in community. Let's also talk about the love of the people you've got, because this is another thing I hear from singles. I actually had a girl tell me, Susie, she was like, you know what, Lisa, I'm so excited about getting married because I need to get away from my family. And I'm like, girl, if you can't deal with your own family and you can't deal with your issues with them, your anger towards them, your resentment towards them, I can guarantee you that your future hubster is going to bug the daylights out of you. You need to understand how to be in real relationship that involves conflict, that involves communication, that involves giving up of yourself. There's just a lot that goes into that. One of my friends said, I never knew how selfish I was until I got married, and I never knew how angry I was until I had kids. So everything that you're dealing with now will only be magnified by that covenantal relationship and family added to the mix.
Indeed. It's not a solution, really, for anything. It's a response, I think, to God's call in the next stage of your life. But it does. Anything you're bearing, making excuses for, will be amplified many times over. Get tight with Jesus. Talk about that point.
Yeah, that is just truly, if you don't understand who you are in Christ and that your value comes from Him alone, that your purpose is delivered by Him alone, you will not be able to find solutions in any kind of relationship, whether that's a dating relationship, whether it's marriage, you know, any kind of fulfillment that you find. You have to understand that Jesus Christ is the source of all of that. Only out of His resources can you in turn give out of those resources to another person. You have to be, it's 100% on you. It's not like, well, if my husband is amazing, then I can love him. No. What does it look like for you to love out of the resources of Jesus Christ? Because that's what we're called to do.
Lisa, this is such good, good stuff. And I'm just picturing the thousands upon thousands of people you've actually prepared and equipped for marriage and for the next stage of life. And really appreciate everything God has given you. Would you pray for the singles listening today that they would really get a sense of what their next steps are, what those obedient steps are, and that God would help them discern, you know, unrealistic expectations with a certain expectancy that He wants them to have?
I would love that. Heavenly Father, I just want to think of that one single person that's listening right now who is probably thinking or feeling like they're the last person in the world who even desires marriage, or the last person in the world who wants to be married but can't find someone. And God, that's just not true. And I pray that they won't feel alone. I pray that You won't allow them to take in the lies of the enemy, that they're unworthy, that they're not marriable, that they're not a person that You love. Heavenly Father, just break those lies. I pray that You would allow us all, Lord, to have the tools we need to equip us to move forward boldly and biblically towards wholeness in relationship with one another in the church, in our families, in our communities, and ultimately, Lord, in marriage. We thank You for the picture of marriage that You give us. Lord, show us that we're lovable right where we are. You have a good single season for us right now, and maybe for some of us, for most of us, You have marriage in our future. So help us to rest in You, be content right where we are while looking to that season ahead. We commit everyone to You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Lisa, I look forward to having you on again, and just thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Susie. It's great to be here.
Always good to talk with you. Title of her book, again, is The Dating Manifesto, A Drama-Free Plan for Pursuing Marriage with Purpose. Fantastic book. Check it out. I sure hope you found some encouragement here today. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And guess what? We've got a new Faith Radio app, so you can live stream us from anywhere from your smartphone. Look up Faith Radio Network, and you'll find it there. Love to have you connect with us that way. Remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.